Today's scriptures reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. It's found on page 835 in the Pew Bible if you'd like to follow me along. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards others, your outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray together. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have together as the body of Christ. And we do ask that the Holy Spirit would move in our lives and that you would draw us close to yourself, that you would be glorified this morning, Lord, in and through the sermon, and more importantly, in and through our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I stood up here and I was talking to you all about the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, and we talked about now what? And now what was the mission that we were all called to? Right in our backyard, our own Jerusalem. And in that sermon, I shared an illustration of a way we can reach our neighbors. And I said our lives are like airplanes. You have the body of the plane, but you also have two wings. And those wings represent our words and our actions. That's how we're going to reach people. People will look at our lives, but they'll also need our lives interpreted for them. So with that in mind, I want to continue a little bit in that vein, because I know a lot of us really want to reach our neighbors and the people around us. But we're all walking around asking, how can I do that? How can I do that? And so what I really want to try to accomplish today is to give us a framework that will allow us and give us strength in the ability to reach our neighbors. So if you look at the back of your bulletin, you'll see there's an actual place for sermon notes this morning. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul speaks about evangelists. And we're not going to get into a big, long theological discussion about evangelism or evangelists, but there's just a couple things really quickly we need to know. When you study the Bible and you hear the word evangelist or evangelists, there are really two kind of things going on. There are those that are called evangelists, and then there are those that evangelize. Now, what does all of that mean? Those that are called evangelists are actual people that God gifts to be his mouthpiece. They are people that have a call to be an evangelist. And perhaps you've met people like this, or you've went to a revival somewhere and somebody brings in an evangelist. That's what they're doing with their life. That's their primary call. They're evangelists. The other side of the coin is that Paul calls all of us to evangelize. All of us should evangelize. I'm going to speak to that part this morning. Because you see, as a pastor, it's important for me to identify and equip and mobilize evangelists. If I'm the only mouthpiece in this church, first of all, that's not healthy, but secondly, that's just not what the Bible teaches. We are all supposed to be evangelizing through our words and our lives. In fact, in Titus chapter 2, Paul uses a really neat phrase. He says that we are called to adorn the gospel. To adorn the gospel. Or if we would say it today, make the gospel more attractive. Not that you're changing the essential core of the message, but you're showing and highlighting how truly important the gospel is to people around us, especially in today's day and age. You know, I just want to say that living in today's world and interacting with people, I have never seen such desperate, hopeless lives. And there are people all around us that God has that need the Lord. They need Jesus. They need the gospel adorned by our lives to show them why this gospel is important. So I'm going to try and give you two things that will help us do that. Basically, what does this look like in our own backyard, our own Jerusalem? Well, let's start with this premise. When predictability is high, impact is low. When predictability is high, impact is low. So if we keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, at one time that really worked. It caught people's attention. But then that thing that we thought really worked and did work, it just becomes predictable. Therefore, impact is low. So we need to rethink ways that we could reach out to our neighbors. It's almost like you and I need a new set of habits. So let's start with the first habit. And this is the first thing in our paper here. I will bless 3 people this week. At least one of them is not a member of our church. So the blank spot is for bless. I will bless 3 people this week, at least one of whom is not a member of this church. So let's take a look at different ways we can bless people. Let's think about this. I think the first way we can bless people is by our words. It's completely free. It doesn't cost anything. Our words. You all just witnessed the children's sermon a few moments ago. And that's really true. The things that come out of our mouth have potential to really do hurt and harm, or they can really bless and encourage. And I'm here to tell you that we have enough discouragers in this world. Now, I understand we live in the real world, and there are times you have to be critical, there are times you have to be negative. I get all that. But by and large, if the only thing you're doing is criticizing and beating people down, that needs to stop. We need to think about ways to bless people, and an easy way to do that is through our words. So watch this. Let's go back to the Greek. Eulogen. Sounds a lot like eulogy. The word actually means to speak well of or to praise. That's why we ask people to give eulogies during the funeral service. What we're really saying is how did this person bless you? Let's hear how this person blessed your life. Do you have anything well to say about them? And then the person thinks about it, and they stand up, and they deliver the eulogy. The word bless simply means to pronounce or to make happy. Now let's think about words of affirmation. Again, it's the simplest way to bless others. The Bible says gentle words are a tree of life. What a beautiful picture. A tree of life. A tree of life? Think about a tree of life. It's living. It's beautiful to look at. It produces fruit. People can walk by that tree, pick something off, and be blessed by it. Everybody is happy with the tree of life. But the Bible goes on and says that the tongue could also crush the spirit. Crush a spirit. Our tongues have a lot of power. The Bible says our tongues can crush a spirit. So we need to think about the way we speak to people. If we're going to be Christians that bless others, we need to think about using our words to build up, to encourage. One of the things that we can do in life is we can all exert energy. Everybody in this room can exert energy in one or two ways. You can either push somebody down or you can pull them up. You're using the same amount of work. It's the same amount of activity. You're either pushing somebody down or pulling them up. Use your words to bless. Lift them up. Mark Twain said this, "I can live for 2 whole months on a good compliment." In the song Brave, Sarah Bareilles says this, "Nothing's going to hurt you the way that words do. When they settle neath your skin, kept on the inside and no sunlight, sometimes the shadow wins." Our words can give life or they can destroy. One of the things I try to encourage the deacons in the session to do is go out and thank people. So at our session meetings and deacon meetings, we have a stack of cards, and they're thank you cards. And all it is a time to sit around and ask this question. So who do we need to thank? Who do we need to thank? Who in the church is going over and above? Or who's discouraged? And it's a simple way to lift people up. It's a way to bless people. Now that takes us all of 1 minute, 2 minutes. But isn't it powerful when you go to the mailbox and you open up the card and it says, "We're thinking of you, we love you, and we notice all the good you're doing." It's a way to bless. So think about a way to bless others, not just in the church, but outside the church. Notice there's a number here, one of whom is not a member of our church. That's on purpose. It's getting us to think outside of ourselves. It's getting us to think about our neighbors or our coworkers. How can we bless them? So the first and easiest way is our mouths. The second, acts of kindness. Acts of kindness. This is just a way to express beauty to others. This may be free, it may be costly, I don't know. However you're gifted, however you think, however God prompts your heart, that's the beauty of this. It's the principle, and you take it and you run with it. I know a lady in our community, speaking of acts of kindness, I think we all know her or have heard of her, Ann Baker. We've helped donate toward her cause. She lives here locally. She runs a hair salon. She drives to New York City all throughout the year with blankets and clothing and hands them out to the poor. I've heard that they eagerly anticipate her there, that they know her by name, they know her van. That, my friend, is a way to bless people. That's her way. Doesn't have to be our way or your way, but she's finding a way to bless others. Some of you may make gift baskets. Some of you may make fresh bread. I'm not sure. But find a way to bless people around you, not just with your words, but also find a way with your actions, your gifts. Now, another thing you can do, other than bless, is the second one here. And that is, I will eat with 3 people this week, at least one of whom is not a member of our church. I will eat with 3 people, and one is not a member of our church. Way back in Rome, there was an emperor, Julian, and Christians were sort of like confusing everybody else. We live in a privileged day where Christianity has permeated the United States of America, but in Rome, Christians were very questionable in their actions and in their words. And here is a little bit about the Christians that the emperor wrote. He said, "We must pay special attention to this point, and by this means effect a cure. For when it came about that the poor were neglected and overlooked by the pagan priests," by the way, that was how he referred to the Christians, "then I think the Galileans observed this fact and devoted themselves to them. And they have gained influence in the worst of their deeds, through the credit they win for such practices. For such as those who entice children with a cake, that will be the body of Christ, and by throwing it to them two or three times, induce them to follow them, and then, when they are far away from their friends, cast them on a broad ship and sell them as slaves by the same method. I say the Galileans or Christians also begin with their so-called love feast or hospitality or service of tables. For they have many ways of carrying it out and hence call it by many names. And as a result is that they have led many, many into atheism. He didn't understand what Christianity was and referred to it as atheism because remember in those days, emperor was king, emperor was God. So he was accusing the Christians of luring people away through what? Having meals together, fellowshipping together. And he could not understand how powerful this was. But what they were doing was dedicating their lives to one another and their communities. You know, it's funny, we were talking about in Sunday school how in the ancient church, people would spend their lives together and how today we just see each other on an hour basically on Sundays. But that's what the emperor was talking about. He was amazed when he looked at the Christians who lived life together, who were reaching out to others. And he said one of the primary ways that they accomplished this was through meals. Through meals, breaking bread together. So, one of the challenges that I have for all of us is find a way to have a meal with people. Three people. Two in the church and one outside of the church. Now you can be creative. You can do that all at once. You can have a lunch with your coworker. Be creative. Open your house up. Meet with people. Bless somebody by breaking bread with them. See, there's something beautiful when you break bread. Not only is it done sacramentally, it's done mission. You can have mission through breaking bread. You can open your house. One of the ways I'm trying to accomplish this is session meetings. This Wednesday, I'm going to have it at my house. I don't just want to meet here at the church. I want to open up my house to the church so people could come and visit and learn about my life and sit in my house. And through that meal and through that session meeting, we grow closer. We gain a better understanding of one another. So that's one of the ways I try to bless. Now that's exactly what Jesus did. I want you to think about this. In the Bible, you hear this phrase, the Son of Man, the Son of Man. Well, in the New Testament, that's mentioned several times, three times. Some of you have these verses memorized. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Both full of purpose, but there's one other that's not as known. For the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Wow. The first two talk about purpose, and the third one talks about how Jesus came to accomplish that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he came to serve purpose. But how did he do it? Eating and drinking. Sitting next to people, getting to know people, listening to their stories, crying with people, laughing with people. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but here's what it makes me think about Jesus. I like him even more. I love him even more. Isn't that amazing? He didn't come at a distance. He didn't point his finger. He said, I'll be over around 6. What are you making? It's amazing. What a wonderful Savior we serve. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. He was there right next to the people. He was relational. He loved people. That's why I'm encouraging you to eat with three people. two of which are in the church and one is outside of the church. Find a way to get next to people and bless them. Now, finally, in the book of John, when Jesus calls his disciples, again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he was walking and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the two disciples heard him speaking, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and they said to him, "What?" And he said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Come and you will see." They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was the 10th hour. One was called Peter, and the other was Andrew. Seems bizarre. You're probably thinking, "Pastor Anthony, why are you even bringing this up?" Here's why I'm bringing this up. They were looking for the Messiah, and Jesus didn't take out a rule book and say, "Let me show you A, B, C, D, E." No. He said, "Come and see. I will invite you into my life, into my family, into my house, and you'll watch the way that I live, and you'll see." Amazing. Jesus blessed those around him. He did it by eating with them. He did it by speaking words of life and by acts of kindness. Here's what Campbell Morgan said. Thomas said, "Except I see in his hands the print and nails, I will not believe." And then he adds this: "What Thomas said of Christ, the world is saying about the church." We need a new set of habits. We need a new set of habits. And could it be that a couple habits we start developing are we look for ways to bless people through our words, through our actions, and then we start eating with people? It's more than just the food. It's the mission. It's the quality time. And in so, you're saying, like Jesus, "Come and see." I remember when I was a little boy, my grandma, she was, sounds silly, but the best Christian I've ever known. She was just in a whole different level. She just truly loved Jesus. And I remember I went to get a drink. I opened up the cupboard, and I got a glass, poured a glass of water, and I turned the glass around, and there was a name on it. And this may not mean anything to you, but if you're from Newcastle, you sometimes drive around, you see some characters downtown Newcastle. One of the person's name was on the cup that I drank. It was his cup. Now, I immediately, like, "I can't believe I just drank after so-and-so." I was little. So I couldn't believe it. But over the years, I'm amazed that my grandma had his cup in her cupboard. So that means he would go to her house, and she would bless him. I don't know of any other people that would have had him at the house. But she did. She found a way to bless him. That's our calling. How can we think outside of this box and bless others? Could it be that we adopt a new plan? Let's bless people with our words. Let's bless people by our actions. And let's sit down and commune with others. Let's consider that together as a church, and let's pray. Precious Father, we give you thanks for this morning service. And we do ask that we would be mindful of the opportunities around us. Lord, you gave us such powerful weapons. You've already given us our tools with our minds and our hearts. So stir the spirit within us to be creative, to step out of the box even a little bit, and to see that it's not that scary. It's actually kind of exciting. So open up a whole new world to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's conclude by singing hymn number 591, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.